God bless you. You girls need to do more things like that. Hebrews chapter 1. We're going to talk to you about the angel Gabriel tonight. By the way, choir, you have been doing a tremendous job. I have been so blessed, Brother Mark. Thank you, Brother Mark, for leading our choir on. You're doing a great job. I love every Sunday having the choir up singing. I know the people. It's just a great thing to have a choir start. And I was challenging Brother Mark. Let's try to get down there right away Sunday morning before church starts. Get down there at 20 after and get up here. I'd like to see you in your seats at 10:30 and starting right at 10:30. Because we're running late, and I'm trying to tweak it, but when we things, if you'd start at 10:30 instead of a quarter of, see how much we can keep, if we can keep tweaking everything, and I can get people out here at 12 noon, and people won't be mad, amen. And so, the choir is doing a tremendous job. Let's just, you know, I remember Dr. Howells, they walk right out. They come right out. They start right on time. And as we get larger, we need to do that. It's good to start on time. Amen? And so, alrighty, Hebrews chapter 1. I'm going to talk to you about the angel Gabriel tonight, but I'm going to put a few other things in with it. Now, by the way, this is just, there's tons of things you can say on angels, but I'm just going to touch a few things tonight. And I got a theme about Gabriel that I want to challenge you with. And Hebrews chapter 1, 1 through 4. Let's stand for reading God's word. Glad you're a good crowd for a Sunday night. Wow. Boy, the Lord's been packing our church out. Brother Broch's Sunday mornings, it's filled from front to back. I don't know what they had over in Super Church today, but this building here is filled. It's exciting. It really is. Look at Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken us by a Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Christ made the worlds. In other words, Jesus was the creator. I thought Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning God created. Could Jesus be God in the flesh? You're right. Jesus was God. And who being in the brightness and his glory, the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he hath by himself purged our Jesus purged our sins. How many are glad your sins have been purged? As it was the blood that he shed for us. And sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels. How many see that? As he hath by an inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. By the way, look at verse 13 and 14. The whole book of Hebrews is talking about how much better Jesus is. Better than the angels, better than the prophets, better sacrifice, better priest, better high, you know, everything about Jesus is better than what the Old Testament had. And that's the whole theme of Hebrews, showing how much better Jesus is. And look at verse 13 and 14. And then hold your book, and then even when you sit down, hold on to Hebrews, because I'm going to show you a couple more scriptures. But to which of the angels, I'm in verse 13, chapter 1, but to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Then he talks about these angels. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who be heirs of salvation? Angels are for you, Brother Mike. How many are saved here tonight? Amen. If you're saved, you're a child of God, you're an heir of salvation. You've got angels watching over you. You've got ministering angels that watch over you, and someday you're going to find out, hey, they're going to say, I've been watching over you all your life. Man, you worked us overtime. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this precious Bible. Lord, I'm glad we got a Bible we can trust in. And I just pray that you'll bless tonight. You put this in my heart the other day, and Holy Spirit, I believe you led me this way, and I want to be a blessing. Help me be a blessing to our people. And we're so glad, as Brother Cooley's prayed, I'm glad there's a heaven. I'm so glad there's a heaven, and Lord, one day we're going to be there. And Father, we thank you for the glories of heaven and the splendor of heaven. And I pray you'll bless us tonight now. Draw us close to you, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. You notice there in Hebrews 1, 13 and 14, one thing you found out about angels, what do? They're sent. Who are they sent for? Heirs of salvation. So angels are sent for saved people. Do you ever notice? Every time, even when Jesus was on the cross, angels were around him. When he went to the tomb, angels were there. We always have angels watching over us. There's no doubt. I believe we have at least two angels when you die take you to heaven. I believe that with all my heart. When Jesus was born, angels were triumphing his birth. Are you with me? There's always angels mentioned everywhere in the Bible. Matter of fact, look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 22. You want to see how many angels there are? Well, there's so many you can't count them. The Bible says they're innumerable. Hebrews 12, 22. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. What's innumerable mean? It means there's so many you can't count them. Their counts beyond measure. That means, in the kids' term, that's a whole lot. And then one more scripture. Look at Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 1 and 2. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers. For thereby some have entertained angels unaware. And so God definitely teaches all through the scripture we have angels. Of course, you know, when you study the Old Testament, I'm just going to give you two quick examples. Angels came to Abraham. Angels came to Lot. All through the Old Testament, you see angels coming. And so coming and going, coming. And so there's always appearances. So there are, God has created beings. By the way, did you know something about angels? They don't have no redemption like we do. Bible says in the back of your Bible that they, in the book of Peter, they like to look into the scriptures to see about salvation. Oh boy, I'm glad that God made salvation for you and I. Amen? Yeah. And so tonight I want to talk to you. By the way, remember, angels ministered to us. Remember in Matthew chapter 4 when Jesus was led by the Spirit of God into the wilderness? Remember he's tempted 3 times by Satan? Remember that in Matthew 4? And then finally Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, and Satan ran away. And in Matthew 4:11 it says, the angels came and ministered to him. Thank God for angels. Amen? Now, we're going to study Gabriel tonight for just a few moments. But Gabriel is not to be confused with Michael, the archangel. By the way, he's the only one that's an archangel. And I want you to look at, while you're in the book of Hebrews, you might as well look at the book of Jude. Go back by Revelation. Little book of Jude. In verse 9, because he's a whole lot different. Jude, verse 9. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, disputed about the body of Moses. Remember when Moses died? They never found his body. Can you imagine if Satan could have got that body? Woo! Got inside there and caused all kinds. But Michael whooped him. Yeah, I'll get this where you kids can understand it. Whenever you read about Michael, he's like a warrior for God. Gabriel's a messenger. Michael's a warrior. Michael's the bouncer of heaven. Michael's the sergeant of arms of heaven. If I can put that in, not being discredited, but to kind of put, by the way, all angels are mighty. But Michael, the archangel, he the man, okay? He is the man. I'm here with me. Stay with me. He's talked about, don't turn to it, he talked about in Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. And Look at right. You're by Revelation. Why don't you look at Revelation chapter 12, verse 7? Don't confuse Michael with Gabriel. They're too different. They're nothing alike, and they hold two different offices. Revelation 12, 7. There was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels. See, he's over them. How many see that? Fought against the dragon. We know that's Satan. And the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation, strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. I'm glad he puts the hurt to Satan. Amen. So you don't want to mess with Michael. I'm going to tell you right now. And then if you want to see, he's at the rapture. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and then we're going to go to Gabriel. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Look at verse 16. By the way, the scripture I just read in Revelation, that's a tribulation passage that's coming up. Hasn't happened yet. 4:16 of Thessalonians. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven. I was talking to Brother Carl yesterday. I believe we're in the last days. I believe soon Jesus Christ is going to come back and take us up. We were with, me and Brother Dave was in the hospital with some Babette, Grandma Sue's niece, granddaughter, and then we went and saw a man named Larry that's dying of cancer that worked at Giant Eagle. I've been there twice now and dealt with him and his sister. And I told him, I said, Larry, one day you won't have to worry about this. And he hugged David and me. His tears came and we prayed with him. And I witnessed to him, his sister, and the lady from hospice. And I'll be glad one day that we won't have to worry about the hospitals. Amen. And we'll have a brand new body, and we're going to live forever, and hallelujah, it's going to be exciting. And by the way, that day's not far off. I don't know the day, and nobody else knows the day, but that day's not far off. And notice verse 16, for the Lord himself should descend from heaven with a shout. There's nothing wrong with saying amen. I think the Lord's glad about amens, amen? With a shout. And then with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And so we know Michael's going to, he's the archangel. It's the only time it's mentioned twice. And Michael's the one. So there's only one. It's Michael. How many get that? He's the head of those angels. How many get that? He's the highest angel. Can I put that where you can get that? How many understand that? Okay. Now let's talk about Gabriel. We're glad we're not going to confuse him. Now, Gabriel's mentioned four times in the Bible. And I'm going to bring all four times up to you. And there's one prevailing truth I want to get across to you tonight. I'm not going to go in depth in the book of Daniel. By the way, we're going to go into Daniel. You can turn to Daniel chapter 8 if you would. But as you turn, let me tell you two things. Michael is a warrior. Say that. Michael was a warrior for God. Gabriel is a messenger for God. There's a big difference. One guy was a bad stick. The other guy just stands by God, ready to take a message. And that's what Gabriel did. He stands before God all the time, ready to take a message. And every time you read about Gabriel in the Bible, he's always bringing great spiritual messages for that day, for that time, for that hour. You know, God wanted people to have special truth and special messages. And Gabriel, four times he's recorded in the Bible. And every time he's recorded, he's bringing a special message. And so, Gabriel's a what for God? That's right. What was Michael? You're right. And so, let's look about the messenger of God, Gabriel. Let's turn to the book of Daniel, chapter 8. Daniel had, and I'm not going to read all this. Daniel had a vision, and I'm not going to go in depth at all. I'm just going to hit it and go. Otherwise, you could do the study of the book of Daniel. Preacher could be 2 hours on just four verses. So it's not that I don't understand it. I just don't have time to go through it with it tonight. But in Daniel chapter 8, you'll look down in verse 3, and then we're not going to read them. But in verse 3, Daniel got a vision of about a ram and a goat, and the goat killed the ram. And boy, he's wondering what's going on here. And so pick up around verse 15. Of Daniel chapter 8. And you got Daniel chapter 8. Look at verse 15 through 21. And it came to pass, and by the way, it always does, doesn't it? How many's got Daniel 8:15? When I, even Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning, then behold, there stood before me as an appearance of a man. You know, angels always have an appearance of men. Angels are not women, they're men. And by the way, they always take on the appearance of men. And that's why many times, remember when they went to the two angels that came to Sodom? Those Sodomites, those queers, they said, send out those two men, the Lot. And so they always have an appearance of men and never women. And notice, they can take on a human appearance. And look at verse 16. I heard a man's voice between the banks of Eula, and which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. So he came near when I stood, and when he came, I was afraid and fell upon my face. But he said unto me, understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. Now as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground, but he touched me and set me upright. And by the way, every time God speaks to us, he makes us upright. Did you ever notice that? His word makes us upright. And he said, behold, I will make thee know what shall be in thy last of thy indignation, for at the appointed time the end shall be. And the ram which thou sawest having two horns are the kings of Media and Persia. And the rough goat is the king of Greece, and that great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. And what he was talking about of the future of the coming judgment on those kingdoms that of Babylon and Media Persia. And if you study that, you'll see that he was talking about judgment on countries to come that they're going to fall. How many are with me yet? You know, and I just, number one. Gabriel appears and he brings a message of coming judgment. You know what? If you can't tell there's coming judgment on America right now, you're in trouble. I was soon with all my heart, I believe. You know, I love that on my dollar bill, in God we trust. And I love on my coins it says, in God we trust. But I know how they're going to take that off without any fighting at all. Because they tried and tried to fight to get it off. This country's fastly, not slowly, it's fastly going away from the things of God. America will soon lose her sovereignty because America is going to be impoverished. America is going to have a financial, we are having a financial collapse. All the world's having a collapse. And because we're getting prepared. We are getting prepared for a one world government. America's going to lose her sovereignty. And when you break people, you can take their sovereignty. Come here with me. But before they do that to us, you got one thing coming before that happens. We're going to have a coin probably within the next year or so. And you remember I told you this. I've been telling you this. It's even now it's on the horizon. Matter of fact, I told Brother Jordan to get down there in that Chase Bank and start searching out all the facts he can get for me. And I look for Jordan to come up with some stuff for me real soon. But he doesn't work in that department, but he's a smart kid, so he'll find out where it's at. Anyways, probably in the very, very near future, we are going to be linked like the Europeans. The Europeans have got countries connected. They're called the Euro. And we're going to connect with Canada and Mexico and the United States, North American continent. And it's going to call the Amero. And our money, the American dollar is going to be gone. The American coins are going to be gone. And in the future, near future, you will have AmeriCoins. And that's going to be the money you'll be using. And I guarantee you, when you go to those, when the three countries are combined, they'll take off in God We Trust. And that's the start of losing your sovereignty. Are you still with me? Eventually, you're going to lose even more of it, but eventually, you will become a one world government. But at the start, it'll just be the three. How many are still with me? Well, number one, Gabriel brought a message of coming judgment of countries. And I think Jesus is coming. How many believe he's coming soon? So how many think we ought to be like the messenger Gabriel and have a message for people, Jesus is coming back? Amen? Are we giving people the warning of coming judgment? What kind of messenger for God are we? I wonder what kind of messenger we are. Number two, look at Gabriel again. Speaks in the book of Daniel, chapter 9. Look at chapter 9, verse 20 through 27. And whilst I was speaking, again praying and confessing my sin. Boy, that's a good thing to do, confess our sin. And sin of my people. That's what's wrong with America. We got so much sin, we got to start confessing it. And God will hear again, but if we don't confess it, he won't hear, and then he's not going to bless our land. I'd like to see one more great revival before Christ comes back. Jeremiah 6:16 is going to have, and 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. If that'll happen, we can have revival. Amen? And it says, and the sin of my people Israel, presenting my supplication before the Lord my God, for the holy mountain my God, yet while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, by the way, it said man Gabriel, still a man. How many see that? We know he's an angel in the form of a man. And there's Gabriel. And what's he doing? He's bringing another message from God. You know, God ought to have we ought to all have a message from God. Whom I have seen in the vision, beginning being caused by the fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked to me. And it goes on. And if you go down to verse 24, you know this. You just study. He talks about the 70 weeks. And, of course, that last week is talking about the 62 weeks are determined that Christ was born. And then, then the Jerusalem was born, built, and then Christ was born. And then last week, that 1 week represents 7 years, is the tribulation which is going to come up. Look at verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make the end of sins and to make reconciliation. Look at verse 25. Now therefore and understand, and from the going forth to the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah. Okay? How many see that? Prince shall be 7 weeks, 62 weeks. From the time to build Jerusalem up to the time the Messiah would be born, 69 weeks. Or 69 times 7 years. How many are still with me? What is that, 482? Something like that. Anyways, 83. And so, until that time, so he actually gave the date when Christ would be born, the year. Because you know the date from when they started. Are you with me? How many are still with me? And then he says, and the street shall be built. And then it goes after. And look at verse 26. After 62 weeks, the Messiah shall be cut off, but not of himself. For the people of the sanctuary at the end shall be with us. And the end of the war, desolation is determined. And look at this, the Antichrist in verse 27. He shall confirm the covenant of many. That's that one world government. One world with the one world leader, Antichrist. He shall confirm the covenant with many for what? 1 week. 1 week in the Bible, 7 years most times. When it talks about 1 week in the Old Testament, Jacob worked 7 years to get a wife. What, and they call it 1 week. How many? He actually worked in 14 because he didn't get the wife he wanted at first. He got Leah first, then he got Rachel. Are you with me? Huh. You got the tender-eyed Rachel, which is, we think she was cross-eyed. Now, we're not making fun of her, just she had trouble with her eyes. And but anyways, what I'm saying is this. What I want you to see is he was given a message about the birth of Christ, the building of Jerusalem. Isn't that exciting? And about the coming of Antichrist. And how long would that 1 week, that covenant, 1 week. The Antichrist is going to make a pact with Israel and the whole world for 7 years. It's amazing. They have Camp David. And usually they meet for 7 days. And usually they try to have a 7-year pact. Did you ever notice that? Boy, it falls right in line with the Bible, doesn't it? We have a coming world leader. I don't know who he is. I know the Bible calls him Antichrist. And he's going to be a Superman. And he's going to get all the world to follow him. And all the countries are going to go into a one world government. He's going to make a peace treaty with Israel because that's all they care about. If you can keep peace with Israel, that's what the world says. It's not Israel's fault. The world blames Israel for everything. It's the world's fault, not Israel's. They're on a little tiny piece of land that God gave them. They haven't even gotten near what he gave them. And yet they say it's all Israel's fault. No, it's all the devil's fault and all the world's fault for not doing right by Israel. Amen. But they're going to make a peace treaty. And even Isaiah and Ezekiel talks about how they have a false treaty. And in the middle of that treaty, they're going to be broke. The Antichrist is going to proclaim himself as God. And he's going to go inside the temple. That's why you know there's going to be a third temple. How many are still with me? And Ezekiel 38 says Russia's going to come down from the north and attack Israel. But don't worry, God's going to protect Israel. The Bible says he's going to put hooks in their jaws. Can anyone say amen? By the way, that's all going to happen during the tribulation. We're not going to be here. Revelation 4:1 says, I'll keep you from that time, that hour. Are you still with me? But Gabriel, he brings a great message of letting people know what's about to take place. What kind of message are we bringing to the people today? Gabriel was a pretty good messenger. And my thought about him was, what kind of a message for God are we bringing? Are we even bringing a message? Then number 3, Gabriel speaks to Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 1. Look at Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, the birth of John the Baptist. Wasn't John the Methodist? Wasn't John the Catholic? You know, they had, Mike, when I lived in Toledo, they had a Catholic church out in Point Place. They called it St. John the Baptist Catholic Church. They did, I'm not kidding you. He was a Baptist, and I'm not ashamed to be a Baptist. By the way, Baptist doesn't get you to heaven. But if you're going, you might as well go first class. Amen. And God's got a church he started. I no doubt in my heart, we're perpetuated from that, what he started. We're the stream from where he started back in Jerusalem. And I believe Jesus started a Baptist church. I believe that with all my heart. And I'm glad I'm part of that church that Jesus started. Said the gates of hell won't prevail against it. But let's look at the forerunner of Jesus, John the Baptist, Luke chapter 1, verse 11. And so Gabriel appeared to Daniel twice. Now he's appearing, by the way, and he's given prophecy. Both times he's given prophecy of things to come. I wonder, you think people are kind of afraid of what's going on today? Wouldn't you like to, you know what helps me in the day I'm living? I've read the back of the book. I know what's going to happen. Eddie, Mike, Carl, deacons, if I didn't know, because I'm going to be honest with you, I was talking to Brother David, I'm stopping to watch, I'm not watching the news. Because I'm telling you right now, the news depresses, and I'm a news nut. I don't care about the shows, but I like news and stuff. And I like sports. Okay?
I did like Little House on the Prairie, by the way. I don't know if it's on anymore, but when it was, I used to watch it a long time ago. By the way, I wrote to that Michael Landon when he was dying. I wrote a letter and sent it. I don't know if he ever got it. I witnessed to him, sent him tracts and everything. Tried to get him saved. Yes, I did. Never got a response back, but there are probably millions of people wrote to him. But I did what I could. Don't get old, Gabe. Where was preacher talking about? I lost my train of thought because I got a Michael Landon. I don't watch TV. I go upstairs. I know I came up here. What I'm starting to do is I'm starting to write papers now. I'm going to my room for this, you know. But anyways, when you get older, you'll find out. You kids will never see it because the rapture's going to happen before it. You're never going to become senile. But you're already there, halfway there anyways now. Stay with me. Amen. And the news is so depressing. I see what's going on. I see the government stealing money and giving it all these crooks and all kind and stealing votes and I mean right in front of us. They don't even care no more. I see California voted overwhelmingly against the homosexuals. They couldn't be married, and now they're getting things. That people contributed money to help make those commercials and stuff, and they're threatening them. I think my lands, they should be put them in jail. Yeah. But this country is, and there's no doubt. Dave and I've talked. There's no doubt that probably in the future, if the Lord don't come, they'll try to silence the preachers. But it's so depressing, man. Rosie, I go up to her and says, what happened to you? You're so mad. You're so depressed. You must have been watching the news. I said, I wasn't. I shouldn't have. Two things that depress me anymore, watching Jim Tressel coach the Ohio State football team and watching the news. That guy needs to understand some stuff. Anyways, I live in poverty, and these morons make millions of dollars. I'm amazed at that. Oh, well. Aren't you glad that we know Jesus is coming back? Aren't you glad we know that the rapture is going to happen soon? I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to start seeing people, you're going to see suicide go up. You're going to see people doing things that you know, because people can't cope with it. Christians are stressed out. Christians are all, I'm telling you, these are the most stressful. I pastored for 28 years. I have never pastored a time where stress and pressure, I mean on good people, are being bombarded. The Bible says in Timothy 4, the Spirit speaketh expressly in the latter times. We're not there yet. Latter times talks about the last 3.5 years of tribulation, but we're close to it. That seducing spirits shall go out. I'm going to tell you right now, we've got seducing spirits going out. I'm going to tell you right now, you better cling to the Bible and you better cling to God, because you say, what can make people do that? Seducing spirits. You say, no one would do stuff like that. That's, no, not normally, but seducing spirits. And the more we get closer to the coming of Christ, the more evil and more wicked it's going to be. I'm going to tell you, Christian, if there was a time for us to be spirit-filled and walk with God, and in 2008, we need to walk with God. Well, let's pick up in verse 11. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord, standing on the right side of the altar in incense. And where Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. Boy, that's great that people pray. Have we prayed lately for certain things? What do you want? Have you asked God? Have you sought after? Have you sought things from God? For thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. How many see that? And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. He shall be great in the sight of the Lord. He shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall, by the way, I've got 75 things wrong with drinking alcohol in the Bible. I'm going to start passing them out. I might even do it Wednesday. I've been dealing with a lot of people with alcohol. Alcohol is destroys lives. I'm taking them to the jail with me. I'm passing them out to jail. Most people are in jail because of drinking. he shall be...
Well, I don't believe that, preacher.
Yeah, I know you don't believe that, but you will eventually.
That was supposed to be funny. Oh, well. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Okay, now, drop down to verse 18. And Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife was well stricken. And am sent to speak unto you and to show thee glad tidings. I am Gabriel. How many see that? That stand in the presence of God and am sent to speak. You know what? He brought a message of the birth of a forerunner of Jesus Christ, John the Baptist. What an exciting thing to tell him. Hey, you're going to be having a son that's going to be telling people that, behold, the Lamb of God, the Messiah is coming. And he said, how can I really know? He said, hey, I'm standing before God. He's the one that sent me here. And I thought about this, Brother Mark. Gabriel, he was standing in the presence of God. And if we would have a closer walk and stand with God, maybe we'd have messages for people too. The Bible says in James 4:8, draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. The Bible says in Psalms 46:10, be still and know God. I'm going to tell you, I know why a lot of times people don't witness. I know a lot of times you don't go soul winning. I know a lot of times you don't tell anybody about Christ. You're never standing close enough. God, you don't stand. Many times we don't stand close enough to God to hear God to tell us what to tell him. See, stand before God. Let him speak to you. Take his message to a lost world. Be a messenger like the angel Gabriel. And then lastly, number 4, Gabriel appears to Mary and Joseph. Look at Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And in the 6th month, angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee and Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man. You teenagers, you know what you ought to do? You boys and girls both. You ought to pledge your heart to be stay pure. You ought to pledge your heart. God, I'm not going to let a man touch me or a girl touch me. I'm going to, until the day I get married,
when I get married, I'm going to give myself to my husband, or I'm going to give myself to my wife, and I'm going to tell him, you're the first, I've never known anyone but you. Did you know, girls, that's the greatest gift you could give your husband? Boys, you know that's the greatest gift you could give your wife outside of Christ being her Savior. I'm talking about a physical gift. And you know what? When I read that, 81% of the boys before 20, they're not virgins. They, in other words, the average boy has sex by the time he's 14 years old. And the average girl has sex by the time she's 15. You ought to say, I want to be special for God, just like Mary was. No, you're not going to have a virgin birth, but you can be special. You can keep yourself pure. You know, why can't we raise a church up with kids staying pure? Amen. You know, and by the way, girls, and boy, you know, well, all they talk in school, well, are you still a virgin? Even in Christian schools, I have to stay on them. Boy, she's still a virgin. What's wrong with her? Nothing's wrong with her. You're smart. Amen. It's pleasing to God. Oh, I'm macho. I got me five underneath my belt. You're sinful. We need to raise a group of teenagers that'll stay pure and holy for God. Boys and girls. Girls and boys. Well, preacher, you know, I just get to... No, you just need to get closer to God. And girls, I'll tell you, oh, I love you so much. They're lying to you. And usually the guy that takes you, he don't marry you. Because he's already got what he wanted. It's the guys look for the pure girls to marry. Always remember that. Guys look for pure girls to marry. They don't want something that someone's already abused and used. Hello. Getting quiet in here today. How'd you get that out of Gabriel, preacher? It's amazing how I get stuff out of the Bible. Amen. Pornography this morning, not right. Gabriel tonight, but you're still working on it, preacher. I'm trying to save your life. I'm trying to save you a lot of heartache. I'm trying to save you a lot of sorrow. Yeah, I know you got fleshly desires. Everybody has them. That's why you don't hold hands. That's why you don't kiss. That's why you don't hug. Because holding hands leads to hugging. Hugging leads to kissing. And the next thing, kissing leads to other things. So if you don't do any of that, you stay pure. Well, they'll think I'm old-fashioned. Hallelujah. I'd like to have an old-fashioned church here. I'm trying to work on this last point. Gabriel came to Mary. Look at verse 28. And the angel came unto her and said, I'm in Luke 1:28. Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. She still had to be saved the same way you and I did. She was a holy, special lady. But I'm going to tell you, Mary had to be saved the same way you and I did. And when she saw him, she was troubled at the saying, cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said to her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, greatest name in the world. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Hallelujah. Going to go on forever. Then said Mary unto the angel. Do you ever notice all kingdoms always come to an end? Name any kingdom you want. They've all come to an end. The Roman Empire came to an end. The Grecian Empire went. The Babylonian came to an end. America's only 200 some years, but it's ready to come to an end. And the reason it's coming to an end, we've went away from God. Blessed is a nation whose God is Lord. Righteousness exalts a nation, sins a reproach to any people. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this thing be, verse 34, seeing I know not a man? I've never had sex. The angels answered and said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee, and therefore that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also hath conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month, and with her was called a barren. For with God, nothing, and the girls sang that song tonight. For, and I had a plan to read this too. It's in my, and I, when they sang, I said, can you believe that? Brother Mark preached a message at chapel about Zacchaeus Friday, and I came thinking, boy, if I was going to use scripture this morning, I'd preach on Zacchaeus climbing up that tree. And he preached on Zacchaeus climbing up the tree. And I said, buddy, that is great. Amen? And for with God, nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, thy handmaid, the handmaid of the Lord. See, she recognized him as Lord also. Yes. Be it unto thee according to thy word. It's always according to God's word. Amen. And the angel departed from her. Gabriel left her. Now, get this in closing. What a great message. The Messiah is going to, you're going to bring forth the Messiah. Amen. God has chosen you to bring forth the Messiah. Are you with me? The celebration of the birth of Christ is coming soon, by the way. The celebration of the birth of Christ is coming soon. Are you with me? Will we tell others of Christ that was born for them? Hello? Gabriel gave the message, you're going to bring the Messiah, the Christ. He's going to be born real soon. What kind of messenger of God will we be at Christmas this season? At Christmas time. At Christmas time. I wonder if we'll echo the words of Gabriel, the Christ is going to be born. He's not going to be born. Now we need to tell people he has been born. Are you with me? And risen. Gabriel was an angel of God that stood close by Jesus. So when the right time came, he could deliver God's message for that day. I wonder, in 2008, are we standing close enough to God so we could bring the message to people? They haven't changed. They still need the message from God. The message of the day in 2008 is still John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Can anyone say amen? The message of 2008 is still 1 John 5:11-13. And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life. And his life is in his son. He that the son hath life. He that not the son of God hath not life. These things are written to you that you might know that you have eternal life. And you might believe on the name of the Son of God. Can anyone say amen? The message today in 2008 from God is Romans 5:8. But God commends his love towards us in that while we yet sinners, Christ died for us. The message of 2008 today from our Savior is Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's a dear lady right there that, well, I think Brother David, someone, they led her to Christ the other day. She's been in both services today. I'm glad she heard the message. See, it's, are we standing in front of the Savior to get the message to give? See, the message in 2008 is still Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save them which are lost. See, the message in 2008 is still 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but is long-suffering to us word, not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. That's the message of the day. Oh, the message just keeps going on. Know their name, Acts 4:12, get into heaven whereby men must be saved. Oh, and every knee, the Bible says, every knee is going to bow before Jesus Christ. Are we taking the message out to the lost world? My question to you tonight is this. Gabriel was a great messenger from God. The reason he had the message, he daily stands before the presence of God. It's not hard to have a message when you stand in the presence of God all the time. Let's stand before the Savior. Let's get in his presence And then let's have him tell us what to say. And then let's take his message out to a whole world that's lost and going to hell. Can I ask you something? Do you have a message? What kind of messenger are you going to be for God? Gabriel was a great messenger for God. I wonder what kind of messenger will be for God. I want to challenge you this week. Learn a little bit about Gabriel. He was a great messenger for God. The key is getting close to God so you can hear the message to give the message out. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we've had. Oh, what a great angel, Gabriel, standing always in the presence of God, learning, longing to go to someone and give the message. The message of that day, the message for that person, the message of that hour. Lord, there'll be people out there this week that will need a message from you. Every one of us are going to encounter people this week. Every day we are going to encounter people somewhere, somehow, some way that need a message from heaven. And Lord, I would to God that myself, more than anybody, that I would be close enough to you, Father, that I would stand close to you and be close to you and I would know of you. So when I meet these different people that come into my life that need to hear from heaven, the message for them at the time for them, God, I pray that I'll be like a Gabriel, that I'll be a faithful messenger for God. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, how many say, preacher, this week, by God's grace, I'm going to try to get close to God and I'm going to try to be a messenger for God. Who'd say that? Yes, yes, yes. All over the building. God bless you. God bless you. Draw nigh to God. Draw nigh to God. Draw nigh to God, that he'll draw nigh to you. Be still and know God. Learn of him. And then tell others the message he puts in your heart. The reason many people don't have a message, they're not in front of the Messiah to get the message. You get in front of that Messiah, that Savior, he'll give you a message. Father, thank you for the time we've had. Thank you for the great angel, Gabriel, who truly was a profound messenger for God. Help us to be faithful and help us to be attentive to be close to you and near to you, that we might hear the very words that you'd want us to say to different people that come in our life. Help us to be a messenger for you. We ask in Christ's name, amen. Let's stand. What verse, brother?